Welcome to Live with Lon. Okay, praise the Lord. We're going to finish the eight woes today that Jesus said to the rabbis of his day, calling them out in front of the crowd for their sin. And so let's look at this last one here in Matthew chapter 23, New King James Version of the Bible. Here we go. And we're going to start at verse 29. So here we go. We'll put it on the screen. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous and say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Therefore, you are witnesses against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up, then, the measure of your father's guilt. Therefore, indeed, I send to you prophets, wise men, and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel, Genesis chapter 4, to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you killed between the temple and the altar. Assuredly, I say to you, all these things will come on this generation. Now, here in this last woe, what is Jesus condemning them for? He's condemning them for being intractable rebels. Now, everybody knows what a rebel is, but what does intractable mean? Intractable means it's unfixable. It's unrepairable. Intractable. Stubborn. They're stubborn rebels, unable to be reasoned with and unable to be convinced to do something differently. And this is what the Bible says here. They killed the prophets in the Old Testament. And then Jesus says, I'm going to send you more prophets and wise men and scribes. And you're going to kill some of them, you're going to crucify some of them, you're going to persecute in your synagogue and scourge, whip some of them. Now, did this come true? Of course it did. I mean, this is what they did for sure to the Apostle Paul. They tried to kill him when he was in Israel, Acts 21, 22, 23, 24. They tried to kill him. They wanted him to be killed by the Romans. If they couldn't kill him on the Temple Mount, they pursued him from city to city when he was on his missionary journeys, the Jewish people did, at various places. They stoned him and left him for dead in Lystra. And in Philippi, they talked the Romans into beating him up and putting him in jail. Jesus, everything he said here came true. And then he says to them, all the blood of the righteous men and the prophets, whom the Jewish people killed, persecuted, beat up, stoned, whatever, is going to come on this generation. Now you say, what does that mean? I'm not 100% sure exactly what it means. Maybe in eternity, this generation would be held especially accountable because they're about to have the Messiah crucified. I'm not 100% sure, but whatever it means, I wouldn't want to be a part of it. When God said, that's all coming on this generation, I don't want to be part of that generation if it comes on that generation. Okay, so what was the problem with these guys? You say, well, they were murdering people. Yeah, but a more basic problem. What was it? Well, they were rebels, no matter who God sent them. no matter what prophet God sent them. They were not interested, right? They were rebellious against the Lord. And they were intractable. Meaning, as I said, that they could not be convinced differently. It could not be remedied. Their rebelliousness. They were completely closed to the ministry of repentance. They heard the Lord Jesus preach. They saw his miracles. They witnessed him raise people from the dead, and they didn't repent of their rebelliousness. I'd call that intractable, huh? I mean, all I saw was God heal my dog, and I repented. I didn't see God raise anybody from the dead. You remember that story, if you don't know, when I was in the process of coming to Christ, I told God I was ready to give him my life, but my dog had mange, Noah, my dog, and I had been rubbing this salve on it for weeks, and it had not been getting better. And I told God, I said, look, prove to me you're real. I'm going to stop using the salve on my dog. You heal him supernaturally. Now, this was dangerous. I mean, my dog could have died by not treating this. I was putting his life on the line. But, I mean, I wanted a God who was at least powerful enough to heal a dog. You understand what I'm saying to you? Yeah. Well, in 3 days, the mange was gone. Now, you can try to convince me if you want it was a result of the medicine, but I'm telling you that's not true. I know. I'd been using that medicine, and it hadn't been getting better for weeks. No, that was a movement of God, and I knew it. And it was a crucial part of my coming to Christ. Look, I only saw God grow hair back on a dog. That's all I saw, and I had enough sense as a rebel that this meant I needed to repent and turn around and come back to God. These people saw Jesus raise people from the dead, heal people of leprosy. Ha! More, and they wouldn't come around. Why? Intractable. Unable to be reasoned with. That's the kind of rebels they were. And Jesus said to them, let's go back to the verse we skipped. You serpents, you brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? Can you imagine saying this to the religious leaders of Israel? You serpents, you brood of vipers. And there were vipers in Israel. There still are to this day. They're fairly rare. The Palestinian viper. But you know, vipers are poisonous snakes. You brood of poisonous snakes, Jesus calls them. How can you escape, he says, the condemnation of hell? Whoa. Can you imagine saying this to the Pope and the Cardinals? I mean, this is like who these guys were. The high priest and the rabbis. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine going into the Senate of the United States and going, you serpents, you brood of vipers? You say, yeah, I honestly can't imagine that. No, I didn't say that. Okay, I'm just teasing. I'm just teasing. Okay, just teasing. No, you wouldn't do that. He did it to these guys. You're not going to escape the condemnation of hell. Why? Because I don't love you? No. Jesus loved them. Because my death on the cross is not going to count for you? No. It would count fine for them. Why can't they escape the condemnation of hell? Because God's mad at them and is going to already decide to say, no. Why? Because they would never repent. Why? Because they were intractable rebels. Nothing would convince them. Nothing. Friends, the only sin that's unpardonable, I've met people who are convinced they've committed the unpardonable sin. The only sin that's unpardonable is unbelief. God will forgive you any other sin there is, except unbelief. Refusal to repent and come to Christ and trust Him and His plan of salvation. And that's who these guys were. Now, that's as far as we're going to go in our passage. But we're going to answer our most important question now. Are you ready? Come on now. 1, 2, 3. So what? Yes. And what do we say? Come on now. How sweet it is. That's right. How sweet it is. What I want you to take home with you today, it's this. Don't be an intractable rebel when it comes to God. You say, well, that's simple enough. That's what I want you to take away with you. Look, we're all rebels when it comes to God at some time or another. God does something or asks us for something, and we don't want to do it. And we're like Jonah. God said, go east, and Jonah went west. Okay, we got that. But the one thing about Jonah was he wasn't intractable. He repented and went east to Nineveh. You say, well, the stupid fish swallowed him. Of course he repented. Folks, a fish swallowing you does not compare to seeing somebody raised from the dead, to seeing Jesus rise from the dead, to see him raise Lazarus from the dead, and the widow of Nain's son from the dead, and Jairus' daughter from the dead, and healing people of leprosy, and casting a legion of demons out of the man in Mark chapter 5. Are you kidding? Being swallowed by a fish? I didn't compare to raising somebody from the dead. No, Jonah was not intractable. He was a rebel. But when God really said, Jonah, I'm going to press the case with you here, Jonah repented. So did all the great people of the Bible who were also rebels at certain points in their lives. Jacob, huge rebel. But when God pressed the case that night where he wrestled with the angel all night, he repented. Nebuchadnezzar, huge rebel against God. But when God pressed the case with him in the book of Daniel, as you read about, he repented and gave God the glory. And you're probably going to see him in heaven, I would certainly think. And we could keep going on and on and on. The prodigal son, huge rebel, but when God pressed the case, he repented. They were not intractable rebels. Do not be an intractable rebel. There are times where we've all said, God, no. I don't want to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to resist this. I'm not going to forgive that person. Nope, I'm not doing it. I'm not going to speak well of that person. Nope, not doing it. I'm not going to stop gossiping about that person. Nope. I'm not going to stop being envious of that person. Nope. I'm not going to stop judging that person harshly in my own mind and heart. Nope, not going to do it. I'm not going to give my life to Christ. Nope. I'm not going full-time into the ministry. Nope. I'm not teaching that Sunday school class. Nope. I'm not going to lead a small group. Nope. On and on and on. We've all done this. And then God presses the case, as only he can. And he does it in a different way with every one of us. But he presses the case. And we've all then been non-intractable and said, okay, God, you win. Nope, I repent. I'm so sorry. I'm going. Hey, if you're a rebel, but you're not intractable, and you eventually bow to God's will and repent, then you know what? It's all right. God's used to rebels. He knows how to deal with them. Moses, 5 times he told God at the burning bush, read it, I don't want to do this. And God kept pressing the case. Finally, the Bible says the anger of the Lord burned against Moses. How did Moses know that? I don't know. Maybe the tone of voice. I mean, we know when somebody goes from being, hi, how are you, to, and I'm telling you that, we know when somebody gets angry at us. Maybe the color of the bush changed. It went from yellow to bright red or something. I don't know how Moses knew, but he knew God was angry. And boy, he repented and said, okay, I'm off to see Yul Brynner. I'm off to see Pharaoh. Yeah. God knows how to deal with rebels. Being a rebel doesn't automatically disqualify you from the blessing of God. As long as when he presses the case, you'll yield and repent. He knows how to deal with rebels. I remember when I was at McLean Bible Church, one of the most significant men in my life was a fellow named Click Smith. God bless him. He was a retired major general from the Air Force who had flown in Vietnam, been shot down twice, survived. Amazing man. And when he retired from the Air Force as a major general, he went to seminary and got a seminary degree. And then he was the chairman of the elders at McLean Bible Church for so many years. And he was a real mentor to me. And we used to meet almost, not every week, but close. And we would have breakfast together. And he would talk to me about things I needed to hear, in his opinion, and would correct me, never in public, but he would say, now, Lai, you need to listen to me, and da-da-da-da-da. You know, the elders are feeling da-da-da-da-da. One time, I remember we were sitting there, and he was correcting me about something, and he said, now, do you understand what I'm saying to you? And I said, not exactly. And he said, all right, I'm going to say it again, and this time, listen more carefully. Oh, I love that guy. And he once said to me, remember, he was a 2-star general in the Air Force. He once said to me, he once pointed at me, and he said, let me just tell you something. I know how to handle junior birdmen like you. That was not a compliment, friends, being called a junior bird man. Oh, my. But you know what? Even though sometimes I would resist what he was telling me, I would always eventually repent and go, all right, I repent. We'll do it your way. And that's why we had such a great relationship and stayed friends for all those years until he passed away. Folks, God knows how to deal with a junior birdman like you. Yeah, he does. He knows how to press the case. Don't be intractable. Don't do that. He can deal with rebels, but he doesn't deal well with intractable rebels. And that's what these guys were. They were intractable, unchangeable, unfixable. You couldn't reason with them. And they refused to repent. No matter what he did, they refused. My friends, that's the point of today. Don't be like that. Don't do that. That's dangerous to do that. Because as Jesus said, you serpents, you brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? Upon you will be brought the blood of all the righteous on this generation. Why? Because they were intractable. Don't let that be part of your walk with God. When God presses the case, learn to say, like Moses at the burning bush, okay, that's okay, Lord, no more. I got it. you're very clear. I'm repenting right here, changing my mind. We're going to do it your way. Let's do it your way. I'm so sorry, Lord. Please forgive me. God deals fine with that. Be that person. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you are patient with us and long-suffering with us when we are rebellious. You know, Lord, this is why Paul said that even when we are faithless, you remain faithful. Lord, your patience is amazing. But Father, teach us that intractability is not something you take well to. And it's not something that abodes well for us to be that way. Lord Jesus, help us not to try your patience. Help us to hear you. And when you press a case, help us to quickly repent and say, yes, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Some of us might be facing some of those things right now. And Lord, I pray right now, whether it's forgiving someone or speaking well of someone or coming to Christ or whatever it may be, Lord Jesus, help us to say, yes, Lord. The answer is yes, Lord. And whatever question you fill in, Lord, I might not like it at first, but the answer will always ultimately be yes. Make us these kind of people, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. All right. Say, where's the other one? And amen. Okay. Lord willing, I'll see you next week on Live with Lon. God bless you. And thanks again for your prayers while I was overseas.